Let's go up. Well, no. Yeah, got to get close to these people, eh? I promise not to fly any nail off or anything. Anyway, open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23:29. You in the back there, if my voice drops off, remember the sign. I'll try to keep it up where you can hear, if you care to. 23:29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? As y'all know, I spent a lot of my life using these tools. And I can't think too much beyond what I know. I'm not much of a book learner, but the Lord spoke to me through the examples that He gave in the Bible. And about 20-some years ago, I began to pay attention to those things. And it says it's like a hammer. Well, I understand a hammer. I've worn out more hammers than most anybody's ever owned. We never had nail guns in Michigan. It was all hammers. Never saw a nail gun until I came to Texas. And I liked them. If we would change our Bible to the New Version, I could probably preach on pneumatic tools. But the old version talks about the old-fashioned hammer, so we'll have to stay with what God talked about. But I'm concerned when I preach this kind of a message that the message I'd like to give gets lost in the example. But also know that the example will help hold it with you. I don't pick up my tools without thinking of what I've seen with it. I just had a little 4-day solo fishing trip over to a little stagnant pond that had a whole bunch of big tarpon and fought them for 4 days. I spent the whole time thinking about what this thing here was meant to explain to me. The Word of God is like a hammer. Amen. And I got to preaching and the trees bowed down and repented and it was great. 4 days of preaching, I'm just trolling up down this little stagnant water. I preached for 4 days. That's one reason my voice never healed up, I think. It really blessed me. And I don't know if I can convey some of that. One of the problems is I've seen so many things that I don't have time to go through them all, so I'll try to bring it down to one pair of points or two, or I don't know, a lot of things. But let's get to know about the hammer a little bit. And for our illustration, it's the wooden hammer that fits the best for the illustration. Modern man has improved it by putting a metal in it and different things. But what are the components of a hammer? How many are there? There's three. We'll see. In this trip, I learned there's four. Yeah, there's four. What are they? This metal part we'll call the head. And this handle is made out of wood. What does that represent? What does wood represent in the Bible? You that are into types. Silver, redemption, brass, judgment, wood. Humanity. Humanity. And the head, we'll call it the Word of God. God has determined that man shall deliver His word.
Amen.
It's not the angels. The angels came and told Peter to go.
Yes, right.
But Peter had to go and deliver to Cornelius. We are commanded to preach the gospel,
yes,
to deliver the word of God. You said there's three parts to a hammer. What's the third one? What does that represent? Faith? The answer I usually get is the Spirit. The answer is faith. Spirit is wrong. What is it that takes the whole of the hammer and guides it, empowers it, and delivers the force? That would be the Spirit.
Amen.
This wedge is a faith.
That's right.
Without that wedge driven in there, that head comes off.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation, unto changing men's lives, how can you swing that hammer?
Yeah, that's right.
How can you deliver the Word of God if you yourself don't believe it? And you say, well, I'm saved, I believe in God for salvation. But has it changed your life?
Amen.
If you really believe that the Word of God changes lives, then there's a lot of things in our lives that wouldn't be there.
Yeah, that's right.
The Bible's very specific, and we could start a list of things that we should and shouldn't be doing. Faithful to the meetings.
Amen.
Not associated, not unequally yoked. And that's more than just marriage.
That's right, yeah.
You start a business with an unsaved person, you're unequally yoked.
That's right.
And that's the first of a whole lot of things that you're going to do out of the will of God to remain in that business partnership.
That's right.
And those things that we don't do and the things we do against the will of God show that we aren't really fixed to that head.
Yeah.
We're not really solidly believing in the Word of God. You said there's three, but there's really four. That's another wedge, but it's different. When you have to replace a sledgehammer handle, it comes with a pre-cut slot. And you slide the head on it. And then you take this wooden wedge, and you put it in, and just a slight tap will put it in. What does that wedge represent? What fits good? Your salvation.
Amen.
And that's where most people are today. Most Christians, they've accepted the Lord and they have believed enough on the Word of God that they have been fixed with the wooden wedge. But if that's all you had in this, would you swing this with much confidence? It takes this metal wedge and it takes it put in at an angle.
Yeah.
And it has to be driven in with force.
Yeah.
It splits the wood open.
Yes, right.
That's our trials and tribulations.
Yes.
And if you don't have that type of faith in your life, you're just an ornament.
Yes.
You know, that's what most Christians are.
Yes.
They don't belong in the hand of the master doing work, but rather hanging up on the wall as proof of God's mercy.
Yes.
He saved somebody that's not very useful. That's a lot of mercy.
Yeah.
I don't spend much money buying a hammer that I don't think I can use.
Yeah. Right.
And if I think I can use it, and I think it's going to be necessary, and I think I can do something with it, I don't really look at the price.
Yeah.
This hammer here is the finest framing hammer ever made. It's a 20-ounce, 14-inch True Temper Rocket, vintage model. You can't buy it in a store.
Yeah.
I ordered it on the internet. Susan was telling me the prices. I don't care. Order it. I'll sell the kids. It don't matter. We're going to have a vintage rocket. There's not a better balanced hammer anywhere. If we don't believe in God's word, we're not useful. And I tried this Monday night. I tried to explain that there's two steps to faith. And I look at a hammer and I replace a handle. I'm saved, praise the Lord, but have I gone beyond that?
Amen.
And those trials and tribulations that come your way are to make you useful.
That's right, amen.
You get all up, I'm a leader in it, I get all upset about the problems I have instead of seeing this is God maturing me, this is God preparing me. God wants to be able to pick me up and use me with confidence.
Amen.
He wants to be able to break some things. He's got some hard hearts out there. And that has to be delivered with force.
Yeah, it does.
And we have to deliver it.
Yes, amen.
And if he can't take us and swing us with confidence, he'll hang us on the wall and look for somebody else.
Yes.
I don't know if you've noticed on the new hammers nowadays, they've quit putting this wedge in. And they started putting this one in. You seen them in a hammer? I bought a little hammer. It's a little sledgehammer, and I use it about 10 minutes, and the head's coming off, and this thing's coming out. I'm driving it back in. I buy a hammer with this in. I take it out. I go buy a couple of these and put these in.
Yeah.
Imitation faith.
Yeah.
It isn't the right faith. And Christianity today, modern Christianity, is built on imitation faith.
That's right.
I'm saved because it feels good.
Yeah.
Well, when it doesn't feel good, you're not saved. I'm saved because somebody had me say these words, and there's no understanding of the gospel.
Right. That's true, man.
It's an imitation faith, and you're not reliable. In the hand of God, we're tools. And we have to have the faith that holds us to the Word of God that we can be usable. You got these ones that their salvation depends on their prosperity.
Yeah.
Yeah. The strength of your faith is when you're the poorest. That's when you're tried and you just have to trust God.
Amen.
Mexico is just like here, is going through a real hard financial time. There's more opportunity for the gospel now than there was when they had everything. We saw more opportunity for the gospel when we first went down, when they had nothing, and then they had some prosperity, and then they had no interest.
Yeah.
And if your faith in God is because He's made you prosperous, you're unusable.
Yeah.
You're just an example of His mercy to be hung on the pegboard. It's imitation faith is what's overrunning the Christian people today. We talked in Pachuca. We have a large number of those that claim to be Christian, claim to be saved, and we ask them and we drill them, and because we don't trust them. Oh yeah, I'm saved. Well, how come? Well, I go to church. Well, I got baptized. Well, this and that, and they have no idea what salvation is. They have no idea that. Of the power of God to save and to keep His children. It's just oblivious to them. It's an imitation faith. We need to make sure we got the right faith. We need to make sure that we're founded on the person and the work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we need to allow the Lord to drive that wedge in as much as it might hurt.
Amen. That's right.
It's going to hurt. When you put this in with the grain, it won't have this effect. This has two wedges, and they're both crossways. That wood had to be split and torn to pieces.
Yes.
And now, it's usable. I got a lot of different hammers I brought. I got a whole lot more at home. I got actually four shops now in Mexico, scattered, 400 miles apart. And so when I go, I got my hammer. Of course, I always carry this one with me. I've been accused of sleeping with it, but I don't. But it's always close. It's always close. But you got to have a big one and a smaller one, and you got to drive some framing nails. Who doesn't know what this hammer's for? Is that Paso de Molo? You know what it's for? This is for sheetrock. This is the nail sheetrock on. It's got a special head that's rounded, and it doesn't hurt the paper. You break the paper driving in your nail, the sheetrock will move. Joey and I, when he was small, he's still small, when he was younger. Sorry, Joe, I couldn't resist. When he was about 15, he come up and we sheetrocked the house we was building for Susan before we decided to go to Mexico. It was 5 below 0, real temperature. I didn't have the heat in the place. And we sheetrocked that thing and hammered it all on. And every nail, the paper so brittle it broke. We got ready to have. I had hired a guy to come in to put on tape and float the thing. And he come up and he says, "You broke all the paper. If I put on this the float, if I float it, this will move and it'll come off. You got a nail that's showing? Most likely the paper's broke underneath it." He went through and re-screwed it all, but he says, "You got to bring the temperature up." That's what this hammer's for, not to allow that to happen. This hammer here, I've actually used this before I had nail guns. I got to Texas and found nail guns, and this got put in the box just for the message. But it's got a magnet, so you can pull the cloth over and put your tack on and then finish it off. Just every hammer has a purpose. Why so many? If you were going to build your house from start to finish, you'd have to drive big stakes. You'd have to You'd have to drive framing nails. You'd have to do some finish work. You'd need them all.
That's right.
You know my son. Big trapping man, no? Huh? What were you when we was building apartments here? 13? 13. I got him on top of these two-story buildings, on top of the gable end, on an inch and a half, holding up the boards, and he's a carpenter. You know what his hammer is? I kid you not. That's what he carries for a hammer. Son, it's embarrassing. My first erector set as a little kid had a bigger hammer. Do tell me that came from your mother's side. But he's in a job now where he puts in little tiny sinkers. He gets paid really good for it. And he's in a job where this hammer in your pouch is going to scratch $100, $200 panel. Why carry what you don't need, you know? Why do Christians have such a hard time with variety? Why does everybody have to be like you?
That's right.
You think you can go out and do all the work of God with your abilities and with your charm and the way you are, and that everybody else should match you so that you get that done? God in His infinite mercy has made us all different.
Amen.
He's made us all different. We need a Bill Kincaid, but only one. That's enough. It's enough. Let's not overdo, but we need one. That goes with every one of us.
Amen.
Now, what would it be that if everybody brought their tools and gave a message up here? It'd get boring.
Yeah.
You'd say, we heard that before. That's what I was going to do. Right? God in His mercy has said we need the variety.
Amen.
Brother mentioned that in Sweden, everybody the same uniform. That's my pet peeve in Mexico. You go to the Mexican schools and they're all in the same uniform. They're afraid of somebody looking different. Just look in the States. They don't want no losers. You got no losers. You got no winners.
That's right.
You got nothing to strive for.
That's right.
When I was putting together a crew, one of the things I asked them is, did you play sports in school? Oh, yeah. What'd you think about losing? Well, it's how you play the game. I didn't want them. When we was framing, it was competition. Who can carry the most studs? Who can drive the nails the fastest? We had timing con. We actually took out the stopwatch. Line up and let's see who can drive the most nails in 30 seconds. I won at 36. That was after I'd got nail guns. I'd been better in Michigan. It's competition. Who can do more? And if we can have the holy competition. I'm not talking about jealousies. I'm not talking about envies. I'm talking about let's do more. Let's do better.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Let's do all that you can do and be proud that you can do that. And then you. So many places have got just one avenue.
Yeah.
I don't know how many ministries go out of here.
A bunch.
And they're different.
Praise God.
You envy one? You shouldn't envy the other.
Yeah.
Do you menospreciar? Translator.
Despise.
Huh?
Despise.
Underappreciate.
Underappreciate. That's a Spanish. Is that one of them that's hard to translate?
Despise?
Despise. Yeah, you can just. Yeah, do you despise the other? Or do you just think it's not worth doing? Now, why are those brothers going over there to do that?
Yeah.
Do you have that thought? You think that your ministry is the only one that's important? We need to realize that God has a very intricate plan. And He said we needed us all.
Amen.
I see it over and over again. These churches splitting up and these envies and strife. You want to know? You want to sign a tell sign that you got a problem? With with the wisdom of God, that you despise another man's ministry, that you don't think it measures up to yours.
Amen.
Support him, pray for him, help him. Well, that's not what I would do. That's not what I'm gifted to do. Well, praise the Lord, he's here.
Amen.
God wants it done. He's doing it. You don't have to.
Yes,
well, what about your? What about your ministry?
Yeah, that's right.
There's none. God didn't buy a hammer to hang on the wall. He didn't. He doesn't have tools that he has shed his blood and purchased and then taught and prepared them to do something as hanging a wall. I can't imagine people that don't want to be useful.
Amen.
Don't want to be in the middle of it. We're tools in God's hands. He's bought us, he's prepared us, and we're to be tools in his hands. But the question is, can he swing you with confidence? I like this hammer right here. I have it just for the illustration. It was loose, and I could pull it off. And after I used this in Mexico, brother come on and says, "Oh, your hammer's loose." And he took another one, he drove all the wedges in. So now the head don't come off, but it's supposed to. It's supposed to. But this is the condition of most Christians.
Yeah.
They're corroded. They're dull and bent and broken. They haven't been cared for. The word of God is rusty. They can't recite. They don't know. They don't. They're unprepared. And this is all chipped and broken. Use this for an hour or so and you're going to have blisters. That's the way most Christians are today. It's a sad state. When I was framing every day, this handle, this shone just like this. It just was just the constant use. I take it home and sharpen the claws up so that I could use it to pick up a board off the slab. I got them so sharp one time I hit it and I did 4 stitches in my arm. I dulled them. But that's what God wants us to be a tool that's
amen.
Polished.
Yes, amen.
An answer.
Yes.
An answer. We have open meetings down in the park and people show up coming through. We've had people show up and they want to tell us something. They want to give us some new doctrine. And we don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's right.
We want need brothers to stand up and say, "Hey, the Word of God says."
Yes.
And shut them down. You can't do that if you're in the normal Christian life.
Yeah, that's right.
God wants us to be polished. That swing of confidence is when you're firmly embedded, find it, wedged into the Word of God. Can he take you and swing you and know that you're not going to complain about it? I think about Paul and Silas, thrown in the dungeon. Beaten, thrown in the dungeon. They're down there singing.
Yeah.
If it had been me, Lord, I'm the apostle, Mike. What am I doing down here? You know, huh? I have healed sick. I've raised the dead. I speak tongues more than anybody. That would have been my response. God wants somebody he can say, "I got a job for you to do. I got a jailer and his family."
Amen.
That needs to be saved and know the Word of God. I got big plans for him. But you understand this jailer, he's a supreme commander of this prison. He doesn't have to feed you. He can beat you. He can do what he wants to with you as a prisoner. But he needs to humble himself to be saved. And how more humbling it would be to bow down to one of his prisoners. Help me.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You ever think of that? What a humbling experience for that jailer to have to ask his prisoner, "How do I be saved? How do I get what you got?" Huh? What do you think? We should have sent the king over to witness to this guy? He would have said, "Oh, yes, sir, king, anything you say, I'm far." No. He had a true conversion because he had to humble himself to a prisoner to know the gospel. Glory to God. Paul says, "Praise God, I'm here for a reason. I'm going to praise God." God could swing him with such confidence that he could misuse him. He could abuse him. Isn't that right?
Amen.
You ever felt like you're being misused?
Yeah.
Hmm? You ever had that feeling? God, what are you doing to me?
Yeah.
I'm faithful. I mean, I'm doing all I can do. I give offerings and I'm going through this. I don't think this hammer understands abuse. I'm pretty careful with my tools. I got tools that I've actually had since I was in high school. I've broken a few, but I'm not an abuser. My dad, he's the master abuser. You just can't believe that guy. He's so impetuous. He's got to get something done. I don't know where I get my problem from, but he got to move something. He grabs the first thing he can reach, sticks it in, and snap! worthless tool. And he grabs another one. Dad, I got the crowbar. No, I ain't got time. Snap. He's broken so many tools. I go into my shop and you can find a lot of nice tools. It's good condition. Not in his. It's all busted. Not one time did the tool stand up and complain with all that abuse. Why can't we be like that? Why can't we trust God? I wouldn't trust my dad, but I could trust God. If you want a bunch of broken tools, I can tell you where you get them. another thing that kind of goes along with the confidence is the comfort. This right here, I forgot to bring I got a big one, big framing hammer. I used to use a 28 ounce, didn't even have claws, it had a wedge to make it heavier, so we could really power stroke. Set it, sink it. But the worst hammer ever made. For a while, I was told that it was outlawed in Canada. This narrow thing, you overswing and hit your finger, you cut your finger off. Another problem is this is solid steel. And this is a very hard plastic. And the first week or so that I was using my big hammer, on the way home, my arm would start to ache and go to sleep. And at night, it waked me up with all the pain. Many of the guys that I worked with ended up with tennis elbow and a lot of problems in their shoulders. You grip that hammer and you drive that nail, the vibration comes back into you.
Yep.
You know, we give bad vibes to the Lord. He wants to use us, and all we do is complain and don't want to use that hammer.
That's right.
This hammer is a hollow hammer. This hammer's got a softer rubber, easier to hang on to. It doesn't hurt your hand as much. In the wintertime, this would get ice, would get cold. We were framing, the coldest I ever worked at was 5 below 0 with 35 mile an hour winds. We built 2 houses. 10 guys built 2 houses in one day. All the rough framing, roofs and the windows, the doors. But that gets so slick in that cold weather, you can't hang on to it. It's not a very comfortable hammer. And what's more, it freezes your hand because it's solid steel. Ever thought if God can use you comfortably? Are you just the complainer? Oh, Lord, not me. All right, I'll do it. And you're faithful to do it. But when he gets done, he says, boy, I wish I had another option. I've known a lot of Christians. I've known some that have spent their life hanging on the pegboard. God doesn't use them, even though they ask to be used. Oh, Lord, use me. Bless me. But he knows if he picks you up, he's not going to be very comfortable with you. He knows he's going to have to coddle you. Then I known others. Praise God for the others.
Amen.
That God can't put them down. God can't say, you know what? Why don't you take a rest? No, I want to keep using you. And they're blessed and they're blessed and they have fruit to their account. And they continue to praise God and they continue to be useful in his hand. It's comfortable to him to use you. Where are you in that? Can you say God is comfortable using me? Or is he saying, you know what? I'll get by with you today, but I'm going to find another one tomorrow. I call it the swing of confidence, the swing of comfort. There's a swing of joy. Hear a lot of messages, a lot of sermons about the joy we get from serving the Lord, the blessing from serving the Lord. God is the master builder.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, 7 days he built what we call the world.
Amen. That's right.
He likes building stuff. I can't believe that he wouldn't get joy when he sees a spiritual wall being built up.
Amen.
And he takes his tools and sends them out to do a job, and they respond, and his work is being done. That's got to give him joy.
Right.
You probably don't know anybody as crazy as I was when I was just out of high school. I love framing so much, they didn't have to pay me. You ever have your boss come and say, would you please cash your check? 8 weeks I hadn't cashed my check. Of course, I wasn't married. That might have something to do with it. That sweet little woman, she hates money. She really does. She wads it up, she crams it in her pockets or purse, and if every chance she can, she gives it away. You are forbidden to go near her. She'll give away it all. You would not believe what she'd rather have instead of money. She comes home with this stuff. I said, honey, that's junk. We had two guys that come by our house in Querétaro on a regular basis that were junk collectors. Literally, that's what they did. They picked up junk and sold scrap metal. And they'd come by and say, hey, senora, look what we got here. And they'd pull out all this junk and, oh. And I come home and she's so proud of her junk. Sorry. But anyway, back to the story. I wanted to drive nails so bad I couldn't. You couldn't believe it. There was. I got hired on to a company, the best framing company I think you'll ever find. Each crew was a 4-man crew. They had several. We're building row houses, so they were simple houses, pretty much the same. They gave us 8 hours to frame all the walls, set the doors and windows, Sellotex, all the wood trim, and put the trusses and the plywood on. We had 8 hours, the 4 men, to frame a whole house with a hammer. Now, everybody else, the other 3 guys in the crew were old guys. They were up crowding 40. And the hardest job on building a house was driving the nails. And so they said, you drive the nails, and we'll carry all the wood in, we'll cut it all and lay it in place, and you just drive the nails. So I did. And I loved it. A sweat. The best day is when it's about 95 degrees, the sun's barreling down, and you're driving nails, and you can see the shadow of your hammer coming down. Oh, whoa! You can't imagine it. Remember them nails, Stephen, that you just point in the right direction and they disappear? It's a set and a swat. A set, swat is a technical term in framing. You probably get, means drive. We're swatting the nails. We'd get the building done, and the guys are sweeping it out, cleaning it up, and I sneak over to the next building, and I'm nailing the headers together. Can't believe the joy this thing has given me. If I could shave 20 years off, maybe 30, if I could shave off some years, that's the first thing I'd go do. I drive by, these guys are building this house down there. They've been 4 days on a four. What are you doing? They got to be smoking something. They started. You ever had that much joy? And sweating? Twice I have sweated and lathered like a horse. The guys put me in the shade. They were scared. I come right up just handful of like shaving cream from driving the nails. Weekend, the Friday, payday. You didn't work Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It's the saddest day of the week. The guy, oh man, we got our paycheck and we get to go home for 2 days and I can't drive no nails. I am not just preaching. This is the truth. I drive around Saturday looking for a neighbor that's building something so I could go in and help him. I went to Michigan the last time 2 years ago. 2 guys come up to me and said, remember when you were just out of high school and you come and help me build? Doghouse, a barn, whatever, it didn't matter. Joy from doing something. Yeah. Using my tools. You don't think the Lord would get joy from that for something that's important?
Yeah.
Amen. Susan, talk about my partners being already being torn down. Some apartments I built never got lived in. I built 260 units. I built the last building. The plumber burnt the whole project down the next week. That hurts. My labor to build all them and put them apartments up. I was so proud of them. And it's just ashes. Had four more buildings I got built. And they were putting the sheetrock in. And the dummies put all the sheetrock in the living room and kept four buildings right over in the street. 16 apartments in each building. My labor don't amount to nothing. All that work and it just... But what about the Lord? He's building a spiritual house that will last for eternity.
Amen. Amen.
You don't think he'd get some joy of using one of the tools that he's bought with his own blood that says, yes, use me.
Amen.
Misuse me.
Yes.
Abuse me.
Amen.
No. Don't make it too difficult for me. I have my union contract. Huh? The swing of joy. I think the Lord wants to get some joy from us.
Amen.
Remember Monday I talked about the saw. You give me five more minutes? Five. Talked about the saw. I didn't even get to the verse that it speaks about. Look in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 15. Just the center part. Isaiah 10, 15, the center part of the verse. Shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? I mauled them words over out down my little stagnant pond fishing the other day. My, magnify itself? It's not talking about boasting over another. It's talking about thinking you're better than you are. More than you deserve. Magnify yourself against. That's a powerful word. We can be against the very master. Against him. Because we refuse to take up the job he sent us to do. I deserve better. Lord, I wasn't designed to do that. You're misusing me. It's not in us. We're just a tool that he has built. And we're to say, Lord, is that what you want me to do? But I had plans of being, one of the, here is, I actually had a thought a few times of being such a great preacher down Metro, they'd have to rent the whole theater to put the people, at these big theaters, and I could preach to all these people. I actually had that thought, that I'd be the great preacher to all these things. And I get down there and I can't even speak the language, you know. It would only happen if I had a good translator. I mean, somebody to doctor up and preach. But the Lord don't see that fit that way. He's got his plan. He's got his set of ideas, what he wants to do. He's got your life planned out. And the sooner you say, Lord, I'll do it your way, the sooner he'll get his job done. And if we are not one that he can swing with confidence, if we're one that's not very comfortable, then we've missed it all.
Yeah, that's right.
We've missed the opportunity to give him the opportunity to swing with confidence and comfort and joy.
Yeah, amen.
Think of Jeremiah. He got thrown down in the dungeon. The only time he got to get out was to get cleaned up a little bit and go tell the king more bad news.
Yeah.
A couple of times of that, I would have a dip. Something would get lost in translation. Huh? Oh, king, do unto Mike as you would like the Lord to do to you. You know? But he didn't. He said, this is what God said. Knowing that he's going to be misused and abused again. This saw does not know misuse and abuse. It does not know. It's never read the manual. But we think we have a manual of what we need to be, how we should be treated, how we should be be how our life should play out. We don't know tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tonight, but yet we think we can decide what it's going to be. When I was real small, probably Scott's age or so, a little bigger, we had an old man who would come to our church. He was a retired preacher and missionary. He was in Sierra Leone, Africa for many years, over there as a missionary. He'd come and he'd preach and then he'd sing, and almost invariably, he'd take out the handsaw. And he'd sit down and he'd pinch it between his legs, and he would start to twist that saw. And he would bend it and flex it the ways it shouldn't be done. He was misusing that saw. Just like sometimes we think God's doing to us. He'd pick up a violin bow and he would start to stroke that saw as he twisted it and bent it and turned it. And it would sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound to save a wretch like me.
Amen.
That saw only knew to respond giving thanks and glory to God.
Amen.
If we could learn, brothers and sisters, to give glory and thanks to God for all things.
Amen.
Quit thinking if I'm getting used right, if he's fulfilling my dreams and my plans, what a difference we would make.
Yeah.
This church would be in more harmony than it's ever seen.
Amen.
The mission field would open up. God's blessings would pour out because he could take his tools
Amen.
And do what's needed to be done.
Amen.
There's tools that he can't do what he wants to with.
Yeah.
So he hangs you on the wall. You're a testament to his mercy. But you're not part of his work. You're not the one that he says, I just can't let you down. I got to keep using you. You're the one that gets it done, and you're the one that gives praise while you're doing it. I know I can trust you. I can put you in the fire, and you'll come out praising God.
Amen.
Where do you want to be as a tool in God's hands?
Amen.
It's a song. You have it right here in our hymnal that gives us that. I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is my master satisfied with me?
Amen.
Amen.